Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
What is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? How happy are you on a Monday? Your Texans were victorious. Hate to say I told you so, but I did. Not a lot of people did, by the way. And I just have to say before anything else, I have a genuinely warm, fuzzy feeling because my boy's back in the studio.
What's up, Urs?
Good Lord. I felt like saying, hey, Travis, nice to meet you, and maybe we'd like to work together sometime. But Travis Johnson has returned from places unknown as he spans the globe to find out information about just lots of stuff we can't get into. But, hey, I'm happy to have you.
Oh, man, happy to be here. Who didn't think their Texans were going to win?
There's plenty in the city on other shows, on other stations that I heard, but I know that a lot of people thought that this was the ultimate finale to crap the bed and be done with it.
But at the end of the day,
Mac and I broke it down to say you got your one from the start of the year against their three.
Exactly. I mean, not just a three, a rookie three.
Yeah.
So I would have never in a million. I mean, they got a favor. The day Derek Carr got hurt, it was the biggest favor to the Houston Texans they could have ever asked for.
Well, I no question about it, because the Raiders went from a true contender to less than a pretender, because they were already to their third string quarterback.
Yeah, it was bad. I think if McGloin would have played, they stood a better chance.
But from what we heard from from the NFL Network on, James Palmer on, and he said McGloin was a full participant in practice Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
But that basically he looked so bad they didn't want to
put him out there.
Yeah. So there's the problem there.
I did see Palmer. He did say he came on the station.
And we all know. We reminisced about our CSN involvement.
Our CSN days, Great times.
Back in the day. I don't want to sell my man Nick Shirara short, because he's always there behind the glass doing what he needs to do to make sure we kick some ass. So Nick is here. Nick spent a busy weekend to some degree watching football.
Went to the game, watched a lot of football, pretty much watched almost all the NFL games, and pretty much stayed home, just watched sports. I wanted to watch the Rockets-Toronto game, but that was right in the middle of the Packers game, and I really wanted to watch that.
Oh, did the Packers play this weekend? I must have missed that. believe me, Granato, Dell, and Sean, I will be decked out in my sweats. Trav got his full Florida State gear on today. Yeah. I will be back in my Pack sweats on Friday because I earned it.
Yeah.
Before the show that I thought you were going to do it today.
Yeah, but should've. I don't want to. It's overkill. I could have. And I damn well deserved it. But at the same time. Yeah, that's nice. But at the same time, Mario Elie got a text from me today just to make sure that we reiterated that his G-men aren't the true G-men. They're done. So that was nice. And John McClain, by the way, yeah, he's MVP. No, he's not. But he's Hall of Fame. 12 had a pretty good day. So we can talk about that. But by the way, the game that you were talking about, Nick, was the one that I went back and watched. I taped it. That's a big win for the Rockets in Toronto. And again, that's a place that I've said is a house of horrors for them because of the fact that normally it's a noon game Eastern time in Toronto on a Sunday, and the guys know that there's a lot of nightlife in Toronto. You don't know who's going out, who's staying in, and how ready they're going to be, and they always lose. To get that win, and some people are going to say, well, Toronto, second night of a back-to-back, overtime in Chicago, had to fly back home. Guess what? Your home turf, you take care of it, and they didn't. The Rockets did. They won both games on the road trip. Now, the one thing that worries me is we haven't had to talk all year long about injuries except for the untimely and unfortunate Clint Capela injury. Now, all of a sudden, we just got a tweet from Calvin Watkins and others that says, Eric Gordon questionable tomorrow night with a toe injury. That's what you don't need. That's what I've been saying all along. They've got to be leery of that this guy has got to stay healthy because you next to James Harden, he's your MVP. And without him, I worry that James Harden is not going to be as much James Harden because of the fact that the trust level is going to go down when he kicks it out to the outside and Eric Gordon isn't the guy that's capitalizing on a lot of jump shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's definitely a valuable piece, and I just don't know if the offense will be as smooth. It just will not run like a well-oiled lube machine, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be very disruptive, I think, for Harden if Gordon is out, and that's something we've been worried about. We felt like, I mean, I felt like when Mike D'Antoni limited his minutes to 29, I thought that was about right. It's just an unfortunate situation for him to get that toe injury. I just heard about it.
Yeah, I hope he can play through it because I legitimately, Trap, and I know you watch a ton of hoops, but the thing that I've been harping on last week is if you're the Rockets, stop promoting James Harden alone for All-Star. You can still send out the tweets and do things.
I hate that.
He's going to get in no matter what.
No matter. You promote other guys.
Right.
Promote some of the other guys that are role players. They see if they can backdoor in.
In years past, even with Dwight Howard, this was all about James getting in because, you know, there was they were separated, divided, however you want to say it. But James, they wanted to make sure he got his. There's no doubt with the season he's having and the way he's playing.
He's getting in.
He's in. So concentrate on the team aspect. Your marketing, your all-star balloting, the things you do, you want people around the country and locally to realize this isn't just James Harden anymore.
Yeah.
This is a true team, and this true team is kicking ass, taking names, and making sure if you're not aware of it, they're right there in the top three in the West with a chance to battle Golden State, who lost the other night to Memphis. So maybe you want to reevaluate your marketing plans. I know the guy's a Giants fan. Now that they're done, he might have some more time to think about it. But, you know, the guy over at the Big Sequoias, along with the Triple X sweater vest, might start having meetings to think about, we should promote this whole team because this true team is playing great basketball.
No question. I think, I mean, for the first time in a while, in years, you actually see these guys, you can see them as friends outside of the basketball court. I mean, I think with the continuity that you see on the court, you're saying they have to like each other. There's no way they play like this without liking each other. And I mean, yeah, I used to hate it when in the NFL when guys used to have to beg the SIDs and beg the PR people to pub me for Pro Bowl. I think all starters should be pub for the Pro Bowl. All starters should be pub for the All Star game.
Well, and I'll take it a step further to where I think you were going first and foremost. I hate the fact that you got to pub it at all.
Yeah.
Let Joe Fan be Joe Fan and vote for whoever he wants to vote for. Don't be prodded every day with, and a reminder, hashtag so-and-so.
I think that's just part of the gig as far as the hits online.
Yeah.
And just the selling the sponsors. I mean, I think that's the main reason why they do it. But I think it's fair to do it.
Well, since the NBA made hashtag so it's on social media, Facebook and Twitter, since they made that a vote that counts, they're going to start segregating and saying, look at all the hits we got on social media this year, exactly, and how much more we've reached.
And then not just that, you got to remember, NBA is still the only professional sport that All-Stars is picked purely by the fans.
They've changed it now, though, I believe, to where it's only 50% is the fan vote.
Is that
it's
going
to change
now?
A little bit. So, yeah, so that way, so a guy like Gordon.
So a guy like Yao, who's retired, won't be the number one vote getter.
Not anymore. Not anymore. But a guy like Gordon would still have to surpass guys that have a name but maybe not have played. Like, for instance, some of the fours and fives in this league, the centers and the power forwards, are going to battle Blake Griffin, even though Blake Griffin has hardly played this year, because he's Blake Griffin. Exactly. He's going to get a ton of votes. Hey, here's what we want to do. Travis and I were talking about this last night and again this morning. We ran it by Nick, and as long as Nick put his stamp of approval on it, we're going to throw it out to you. Got the national championship game tonight, but you had four games to watch this last weekend and four more next weekend in the NFL. You know I'm not a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman fan.
I hate Joe Buck.
I can't stand the fact that, and again, I feel like this, if it's your team, that they're doing the game on. But all I kept hearing yesterday was Troy say, well, could have been a lot worse. Should be a 14-point deficit. Should be this, should be that. They both annoy the hell out of me, but maybe that's because of my loyalties and they're against my team. But maybe you guys like them. What I want to do now is I want to throw it out. We all kicked it around. Give me the network and the broadcasters that you want to hear from when you say the Texans next weekend, all right? Who do you want to do that game? I know who the schedule is. I know who's doing it, but who do you want to do it? And if you could pick your dream team, who would it be? Would John Gruden be your color commentator? Would Al Michaels be your play-by-play guy? Who would you have roaming the sidelines? Would it matter what she's wearing? Hey, this is the kind of things we want to hear. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us to that number and let us know. Nick will check the text. Or you can hit us up on a phone call, and we'll have you right into the show. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at TrapJ99, that's Travis, at NoHitNick, and at PacManJoel with a K, no need for an exclamation mark. They did that themselves yesterday. Hey, we're going to be here till 4 o'clock. We want you to be too, and we'd love to have you be a part of the show. We do it all because we are a part of the four-letter family. We are ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, Nick, I see what you do. When Big Shug comes back in the studio, you just have to bring it back for him.
Oh, you're talking about the music,
yeah?
Day.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you. All right, good to have Trap back in the studio. Travis Johnson with me and Nick Schirra till 4. So we threw it out before the break. I want to know who your dream team is. I want to know what network, if you had to pick one network, you'd want to do your favorite football team's Final Four game, and if you could split them up and pick anybody you wanted, who would it be? And I'll start, okay? I'll say my play-by-play guy, Al Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
My color guy, I'm going to go with Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Michaels is getting older for me, and so he's lost a step. So if it's not Al Michaels, I could do Tirico. Mm-hmm. I like Tirico a lot. Or Jim Nantz. So if I really needed to mix it up, Al Michaels probably is a little bit slower now for me, so maybe let me change that up. Let me say my color guy definitely, and I said color crap, is John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just love the fact that he just lets it fly.
Yeah.
Play-by-play, I'm going to go... I really like Tirico because he does his homework.
Yeah.
I'm going to go I love the Tirico Gruden. I could almost go ESPN. Sideline, though, not so much. But I think overall, I'll just say my play-by-play team that I like the most is Gruden when he was with Tirico before Tirico went to NBC.
Well, I'm going to go with... I got to go old school because, you know, you didn't give me a timeline on... What guys I could use.
Okay.
So me first, I got to go Keith Jackson. Whoa, Nelly!
Did you see him, by the way, at the Rose Bowl?
He's getting old.
He finally started slowing down.
Yeah, but then forever you thought he would never slow down. I mean, the guy is what, 88 years old?
Yeah, 88, yep.
You know, so, I mean, for the first time he's slowing, but I still got to go with Keith Jackson in his prime because, I mean, he's called games where I was still in college. So,
that's awesome.
You know, to me it was, he's the greatest. So I think play-by-play, I got to go with Keith Jackson. Color commentary, I got to go with either Gruden or I might go with, I kind of want to go with John Madden as far as color.
See, you're right. I'm going to phrase this for the listeners though. It has to be current. I'll let you go whichever way you want to go.
Okay.
But I really wanted to do current because we're analyzing based on what they did last week and how they did games. And there was some bad, bad announcing on all four games last week.
I think I would love. Okay, if that's the case, I would go with John.
Mm-hmm.
My sideline reporter, I would probably either have to go with what's the lady?
So you got Lisa Salters, you got Tracy. Aaron Andrews,
yeah, I mean,
you got Tracy Wolfson.
I mean, Sam is married to a Seminole, so I wouldn't mind going with Sam.
But Sam doesn't really do NFL Ponder. Games.
Yeah, she doesn't. But, I mean, you didn't say it had to be NFL.
Well, I'm talking about NFL, but I'm talking NFL. Why do you want to continue to throw monkey wrenches in my toolbox?
Because I want the best group.
Okay, so there's the Travis rules, And then there's because the rules for everybody
because
else.
Because if that's the case, then I would also, I mean, if that's the case, it's certain people that from just because they don't do it.
Sam Ponder to me is Natalie Morales' little sister. Hey. They look exactly alike.
Or, I mean, it's a whole lot of people you can go with on that sideline report. What's the lady?
I could time you with a calendar instead of a stopwatch. You're so slow.
What's the lady that had the cancer with the red hair?
That's real nice. Which one? Shelly Smith?
I like Shelly Smith on the sideline.
Shelly Smith or what's the other girl?
Roberts?
No. There's another girl, lady with red hair, reddish blonde hair that just went through treatments on ESPN, ABC. Anyway, we got a lot of calls lining up already, so let's see what we got. My man JJ, ready to get into the driver's seat. He's probably already driving around town, but I know JJ wants to get in.
And I am, and first of all, I got to tell you guys two things that are really funny because I'm trying to be a regular on the show now. I kind of told John and Sean I was going to have to drop them and go with the best show on the radio during the day.
Love that.
So, Granada don't like it when that happens, but he's good. Sean's great, but you guys are the best.
All right, here we go.
Appreciate it.
First of all, I wanted to let Joel know that I was in Dallas. You know, I cover most of Texas, like I told you, and I called into their radio show for the first time, and it was their 1-4 drive.
Uh-huh.
And I told them that they were too much of a homer with their Cowboys and everything else, and they need to listen to Joel Blank's show in Houston and learn how to do sports talk real. And they went off on me. So I just want to let you know I tried to throw
like
that
you're stirring it up. There's nothing wrong. We got your back, by the way.
They were not happy, man. They were trying to roast me, but I roasted them back.
I'll take Trap and I in a tag team with who they got. We'll be all right.
Oh well, that's what I told them. They started talking smack, and I said, "Listen, I said if he's got Trap, I don't know what Barry's fighting skills are, but you two, I told him I'd take you guys in a brawl," and they said, "Bring it." So it was pretty funny.
That's nice.
Anyway, I my first time calling Trap, so I just wanted to say, hey man, I love you. You do a great job, especially on your football. So it's good to be on the show with you. All right, here we go, sideline guys. All right, I'm going to go with Tirico and Gruden. I don't think there's any question. I'll throw up every time Joe Buck and Dan and Troy are on the show. I can't even listen. I mute them and watch the game. And how about them Packers, first of all, huh?
Completely, yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, how about them?
Hey, didn't we talk last week about how Gruden picked Eli as the most dangerous quarterback and all that?
We did. I brought that up.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah, he looked great. All right, well, here you go. My sideline reporter, I got a twist for y'all. You ready?
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of these girls on ESPN stuff do a great job, but my pick is Jenna Jameson. I'm sorry, that's who I'm going with.
Wow.
I don't know what her skills are on the sideline, but I'd like to look at her and hear her do sideline reporting. I will go now, guys. I want to see what y'all thought about that one.
Well, what I first think, JJ, is that we know what you do in your spare time, especially when you're on the road, but I hope you pull over. Secondly, I don't think you'd have Jenna on your sideline. I think you'd have her more on the chain gang measuring for first downs, if you know
Jenna,
what I mean.
She's way past her prime.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If you're going to go down that road.
It's so many more porn stars that are better
than
Jenna Jameson.
It's not even 31
right
flavors. There's just, yeah, there's, yeah, there's a lot of choices. All right, so JJ's on the board, and I love the love that he showed us.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Of course, no question.
By the way, somewhere on his way home in his Mercedes with his Starbucks app on his phone, he kept going, "Okay, we're better than that. Mm-hmm. You can't do that to me. I ain't been at the station longer." Mm-hmm. Okay, so Seinfeld meets John Granato. Anyway, Eddie, you're up next. You want to talk about announcers, too. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How's it going, Joe?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. For announcers, I don't think it's really even that close. And I know he does mostly NBA, but he does all the radio for
Westwood One.
But Kevin Harlan is the best play-by-play. I don't think it's even really even that close. And then for color, I think John Gruden, I mean, he covers everything, plus he's got a little of that crazy in him. And then for sideline, Michelle DeFoya, I think she's just been pretty much the most consistent person there on the sideline. I mean, and she's not terrible to look at. So that's what I got.
I can't see this last part of that, but I appreciate your opinion. She went a little out of her league, too. She married a guy or got engaged to a guy when he was still at the University of Minnesota pitching on their baseball team. And she was, let's just say, well beyond her college years.
Who did?
Michelle DeFoya.
I didn't know that.
That's up there.
Are they still together?
Up there in Gopher Country. Yeah, I think they still are, don't you know? Okay, so he's on the board with that. Someone said to me on Twitter, by the way, Jason, said that I'd go with Tirico, but he's not doing games this year. That's because Al Michaels blew a conniption fit and didn't want Tirico to do even the NFL. He didn't even really want him to do the NFL Network games for the Thursday nights because he's a little He's a little bit of a, on a power trip because he knows he's on the downside.
That sucks. Mike Tirico, man, is the only grown man I know that can continue to come on TV with a receded hairline in the front without shaving.
Or a LeBron headband.
And do an excellent job. He's great to listen to.
He's great to listen to, and you definitely got to be careful if he's a coworker because he's going to probably chase down your wife. Let's go to Trey in Baytown. You want to talk about your favorite broadcasters. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Joel? Hey, Travis, how's it going?
Did you just call Joel?
I was talking about my favorite Joel. Announcers.
Oh, my this favorite, you know who this is, by the way?
This is
Carrot Top meets the Whopper.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Trey.
I wanted to talk about my favorite announcers.
Yeah.
Play-by-play, I'd probably have to go with the great Chris Economaki.
We're not talking about... but we're not talking about bowling, Trey. We're talking about NFL football.
No, but... just solely football.
Correct.
I guess I like Al Michaels. Al Michaels is pretty good.
Yeah,
he's a good. I know he's going on a power trip and he's doing this whole thing with Tirico, but I have always liked him. I like Chris Collinsworth a lot, which is an unpopular opinion.
Yes, it sucks.
Travis will show you just how unpopular.
I understand y'all disagree with me, but I like Chris Collinsworth. I like his snarky remarks.
Okay. And then who's your sideline reporter? Because this could be the one that throws it over the top for us.
I guess I don't know. I don't really pay attention to my sideline reporters, but OJ was a great sideline reporter.
OJ was a pretty good sideline reporter.
Trey, if we didn't know you, we'd throw you right now. But okay, you've chimed in. Are you coming in today, or are you running errands around town?
Nah, I'm running errands around town. So
I use that term running loosely. I use that term running loosely. Where are you going?
Yeah, I don't run. I run to the fridge, but...
Have you gotten a belt yet?
Have I gotten a belt? No.
I told you your New Year's resolution is to find a belt to keep your pants above your butt cheeks.
Well, my pants are... Well, you know.
There you go.
Why are you looking?
Because we have no choice. When you sit in a chair... Trey Mundus, when you sit at a chair here at the studios waiting for your time to shine answering phones, you don't give us a quarter slot. You give us the full Rocky Mountain range hanging out on the chair.
Well, you know, I try to cover it up in my shirt, but, you know, things just happen sometimes.
Dude, material isn't supposed to stretch like that, but we appreciate you chiming in like a doorbell. We look forward to seeing you the next time you're at the studio. That was Trey Wonder. He was Trey Mendes, and he was in on the show. If you want to join Robert and Ernest and get in on this, feel free to give us a call. It's Trav, Joel, and Nick. We're here till 4 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Okay, so Lamont chimes in and says, hold up, you saying Tirico gets down like that, messing with people's... Here's the thing. If you read, they call it the Bible. It's the story of ESPN.
Yeah.
And like when I was traveling with the team, I was reading it morning, noon, and night. And it's like... I mean, it's thick. It is a huge book. But if you read about Tirico chasing chicks back to their cars and not taking no for an answer, and I mean, the story is Tirico and Berman, man. I mean, you can't mess with on the air. But off the air, hey, they had their own thing going on. Hey. So read the book. You'll find out. It's unreal. So let's just roll through these because we want to get down to the. I want Travis to break down the Texans for me because there's some things I want him to drop knowledge on you guys about Jadeveon Clowney, about the Texans defense, about things that went well for a team that won. And remember now, I told you could bitch about him all season long, Brock and the offense and everything else, but come playoff time, there's no turning back. And this is who got you to the dance, and this is who you're going to cut rug with. And they got you what you needed, which was a win. And so they're on to New England, and we'll talk about that too. But don't lose. Faith in your squad now because it's all you got. Ernest, you were holding longest. You want to talk about the announcers. What's up, man?
Yes, sir. I don't know about side people out there on the side of the field, a woman. I don't care. As long as it's a blonde one, I'm good with that.
Okay.
But I don't know. You know what? For this game, all in honesty, for the Green Bay and Dallas game, let me have Troy Aikman and let me have you, Joe. I will take you anytime so you can – settle him down the way he's always talking about my team. But at the end, you would have to pop him in his mouth.
Dude, he's a big guy. Now, I appreciate the love showing me the love, but here's the thing. Troy is a big dude. Like, I was flying back from the Green Bay-Dallas game in the playoffs, the whole Dez catch, non-catch thing, and I was flying back, and we were in the same airport as Troy was taking his private plane, and I turned around. Trap, you can probably attest to this, but Troy is no joke. He's, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
He's 6'5".
And he's like, wide. He's a big dude.
Yeah, for a quarterback.
For a quarterback, yeah. Right?
Okay. I mean, he's not big. He's not bigger than Peyton, but he's a big dude.
Height-wise, you mean? But more physical than Peyton?
Not really. I mean, Peyton started to become like...
When the neck stuff,
but Peyton is a big dude.
Wow. See, I've never been next to Peyton Manning, but Peyton, I looked Peyton, at Troy and went, now, for a quarterback, that's a big dude.
Yeah, Peyton a big... Tom Brady a big dude.
Oh, Tom Brady I've seen, yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Ernest, we appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. You're always contributing good stuff to the show. And Robert in Beaumont, you want to talk about commentators. What's up?
Hey, what's going down, fellas? What's up, Travis?
What's happening, Robert? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah, man. I had called in the last time and was messing with you about Barry Week. But look, I would have to go with my two favorite. I'm old school. I like John Madden and Pat Summerall, man, because it's like they sound like two old senile dudes just going back and forth talking about football. And for the wild card, I would throw in Charles Barkley from TNT just to have some commentary. But, hey, Trav, man, I want to ask you a question. Hey, could you elaborate on it? Man, can you tell me about when you first got drafted and what was the feeling like knowing that you was going to make $1 million and what was the first thing that you bought? And I'm going to hang up, man. Appreciate the show, fellas.
Well, you know what? We appreciate the call, but I mean, getting the money was cool. I was excited, but I had bought a car before I got drafted. I bought a 2005 Escalade. I still actually got it and I still drive it. You know what? That was besides. I just bought a house and a car. You know what I mean? Like I was never like things never pushed me like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still don't ask for them. Like Christmas, I never ask for anything.
I didn't either.
I hadn't asked for stuff for Christmas since I was like 8 years old. So
I asked for Nick to be nicer. And we'll see if that happens. But that was also my resolution.
I don't remember that request.
Well, I didn't have to give it to you. I asked people with powers to be above you to try and help me. All right. Well, we appreciate the call. So we got some of those calls. If you guys want to chime in throughout the show, we can hear about your favorite broadcast team. Is it a network thing where, like, if I could have kept the ESPN tandem together of Tirico and Gruden, that's what I would have done. And then sideline I haven't answered because I'd really have to think about it. But it's not Erin Andrews because she drives me nuts. And she's a Packer fan. I'd have to think about that. But we've got some good ones out there. You guys want to chime in, I'm all good with it. But let's get down to some brass tacks, Trav, because I haven't talked to you in a while. Keenan was great filling in for a couple days to kind of get some insights. But the Texans defense showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's skip the offense for a second, though. I was very pleased Brock just did what you asked him to do. He was a great game manager. He did sling it around a little bit. The throw to Hopkins on the sideline was one hell of a throw I didn't think he had because it had some touch on it.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think it was a catch. I mean, he actually physically caught the ball, but I mean, I didn't think he got the second foot.
And we can get into that, but I think the big thing was that the kind of the underwriting theme that you and I started throughout this year was they're going to move Clowney into a five technique. They're going to move him down. And that could either make him or literally could break him because he's not that big and physical in terms of like for a D lineman, mm-hmm. but he is a freak of an athlete. He has performed well all year and now in the playoffs and the first time he's actually participated in a playoff game, boy, he was wreaking havoc. And I kind of want you to give me your thoughts on how, you know, what he did, but then more so the reasons why it worked out for him.
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, I think you got to look at the type of player he is. I think the biggest thing that he addressed, I think, for a lot of people was they questioned his motor. They always, from the time he's in college, they always questioned his motor. But when I talked to Weaver the first time Weaver got him, it was, he said, the kid works hard. So he works hard. He plays hard. He says, it's just a matter of just getting him in the right places and having him.
When was this that you asked this Anthony is, Weaver, yeah, this the
is,
coach?
This is when the week they were moving him. You know, this,
okay, so this was this year.
Yeah, this is this year.
I was going to say, in years past, one of the knocks on him where J.J. didn't even want to talk about him because J.J. was questioning how much he was really dialed into it.
J.J. questioned that for the media. I don't worry about that. Okay. You know what I mean? I worry about people who actually make decisions around there. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
And when this was Weave's first year with the team, mm-hmm. and I think when they made that move, remember I told you weeks before it happened that it was going to happen. And we sit here talking about him, about the move. But I think the biggest factor of his success, I think, has to be Anthony Weaver. I mean, outside of what he's done, outside of just being clowny, being a freak of an athlete, being a hard worker, mm-hmm. having all the tools, I think the fact that how Weaver was able to take him from a hostile room of the linebackers and put him in a D-line room and keep him to the point where I'm just going to manage. I'm going to get you to just get to Sundays. I'm going to get you, and how he helped him take care of his body, even when he's banged up. Clowney's been banged up all year. He's had that elbow all year. He's had the wrist and the hand all year, and he's continued to fight through, and make plays. I mean, and he deserved the Pro Bowl nod. I think a lot of beef that him and JJ had before was a lot different because they were also in two different rooms. See what I'm saying?
I got you. Because he was more linebacker
and then playing. And then so JJ is getting a report from Vrabel, who might not be pro Clowney. He's like, oh, I don't like the kid. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Is what Vrabel might be telling JJ.
Well, and the media would poke, and too. They keep saying, JJ, what about, Clowney in the weight room with you, too?
But the media pokes because of stuff that they get trickled down from upstairs. You see what I'm saying? Trickle down from that one little source that happens to be somewhere in the locker room.
I know how that works.
Nine times out of ten, it's the freaking coach.
Or the general manager. I know how it works.
Exactly. But, you know, so then finally when they're in the same room and he realizes, this is an intelligent kid. This kid works hard. Because I get to see him now every day working hard. Now I don't hear from not the horse's mouth. You know what I'm saying? I get to see him now work. I think that right there changed their whole mentality towards each other.
Here's the most interesting thing that I noticed. Even in the play, the South Carolina-Michigan game, and even when he was out South Carolina, you knew that he had ridiculous strength. He was completely the best player on the field defensively. In terms of the college game, okay? He was dominant. He was a men amongst boys kind of thing.
Yeah, because he's a knee bender.
But when you look at him in the pro game, I kept saying, look, this is just raw talent. He's got a lot of raw ability, but he doesn't know technique. He doesn't know moves. He doesn't know things that's going to make him an NFL standout instead of an NFL player. And I think it took a couple years, but it seems like maybe it is Anthony Weaver, but it seems like he's put in the work now to kind of polish those skills.
Well, he's always put the work in. I think the fact of the matter is, in the league, he came out of college with no – I mean, he hadn't really – his D-line coach in college was Brad Long. Brad Long is now the D-line – I mean, he's now the outside linebacker coach in or defensive end coach at Florida State. And Brad Long was his coach, and Brad really didn't – I mean, Brad taught him a few things, but they really didn't teach him a bunch of technique. And then when you take a guy who still lacked the technique, the perfection in the technique, and then you move to the outside linebacker, that doesn't help him because now Vrabel is looking like, I don't have time to teach him technique. When you get around a coach who as a player was a complete technician in Anthony Weaver, I think that's what you look at. I mean, he's always been a knee bender, and when I say knee bender, he plays with great leverage. I mean, when you look at that play in Michigan, everybody brings that Michigan play up. I mean, that's one play in the entire
game. That's
what I'm
saying. So he was raw talent coming out, and look, I think there was way too much attention on one play, but for the most part, and it happens in every sport with guys coming out. They believe the hype to the point where there's a little bit of immaturity. But it seems like he's matured to the point where he took – maybe it was Weaver getting through to him.
But no, I don't think it was ever immaturity. I think it's just how they treated him. I think they always put him – I think they always, from the jump, never really was like, well, we got to take him, otherwise fans are going to go crazy.
Okay.
But I think they never really wanted him. And I think that showed. And now even right now with him being a Pro Bowler, he still doesn't get the credit from the local media market, from the coaches in that building, and from the people around the city. So, I mean.
There you have it. So, you know what? Maybe you need to show him a little bit more in love. J.D. Clowney's doing his thing. Trap will have more on J.D. Clowney, the defense, and, of course, the rest of the Texans. We'll get down to some more brass tacks about breaking it down in just a minute. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trapp, and Nick up until 4 o'clock. And before we get into more great talk and keep breaking down Texans and other things, and of course remind you that you can still chime in on your favorite announced team for NFL games, including Sideline Reporter, let me know. We'll let you do your network and or put your dream team together. But I want to remind you, the holidays are past us, but it's a great New Year's resolution, a time for you to look around and kind of get rid of the clutter in your life. That includes cars, boats, RVs, motorcycles, trailers, running or not. They're probably taking up space, and they're cluttering up your living area in terms of your driveway, your garage, your storage units, maybe just out in a field somewhere. You want to get rid of it and make a difference in someone's life? Well, I got an idea for you. Contact Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program, and it only works because of you. Because of responses from the listenership that we have here at ESPN 97.5, we have made a difference in so many kids' lives in the city of Houston because of the fact that they've got a second chance to get an education and get the resources they need to be successful and productive. Why? Because Houston Cars for Kids does all the dirty work. You call them, say, hey, I got a trailer. Well, guess what? From that point on, they're going to do the paperwork. They're going to come out with a tow truck. They're going to come see you. They're going to take it away, and they're going to give you a tax deduction. So you are probably going to get as much in a deduction as you would have if you tried to sell it on Craigslist or elsewhere. Then what they're going to do is they're going to turn that around and flip it into financial means that can provide opportunities for kids that need a little help in gaining the education that they need. That could be glasses. That could be a bus pass. That could be warm meals. That could be so many things that can change their lives and help them to get an education, because they are going to graduate and they are going to become a stronger member of our community. It's all because of the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, and it's only because you help make it work. Call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. It really will make a difference. Be sure you mention that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. And always remember, right off the car, not the kid. Trav, we were talking before the break. Look, I don't care where it came from. I don't care who the quarterback is. I just cared that, look, we said it's now a dirty term, game manager. But Brock did what he was supposed to do. When I had Keenan on, I said, look, you played with a guy like Brad Johnson. We know a guy like Trent Dilfer, who on our show here has admitted, look, I was a game manager. But guess what? If you do that well and you have a great defense, you can win games, and they've proven you can win Super Bowls. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying the Texans are going to win a Super Bowl.
I was about to say.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is they can win playoff games if they don't. I said last week, keys were going to be special teams, right? And whichever defense played better, and more importantly, whichever team avoided the turnover bug. And Houston avoided the turnover bug more than the Raiders. So special teams played on both sides was a factor. But the big thing is, if Brock doesn't turn it over and he can keep them moving, the defense has shown that they can step up and keep you in a game. That was good for the Raiders. But yeah, they are going to their personal house of horrors this week. And if you look at it, and I was tweeting some of this week or before the show, so that people have a better idea of what I'm talking about in terms of what they have done when they have gone to New England in the past and the amount of points that they have not scored. What they like to do, too, is they like to key on the fact that they'll take the best player, or the, like, J.J. Watt hardly has any sacks against the Patriots. Why? Because they key on him and say, someone else is going to have to beat me. For that very reason, they're going to key on Clowney, which means guys like Merciless are going to have to continue to step up, and it's going to be a challenge on them. And then offensively, look, the one thing I'll say is, yes, it's Brock, but at least Brock has played in a big game in cold weather in New England. It wasn't a playoff game, but he's played there. He's got a little experience.
Yeah, but that experience, in my opinion, in New England never helps anyway.
Okay. Why?
Because it's such a hard place to play. You're playing against Tom Brady. Well, I mean, both of y'all not going actually against each other. I think you're really playing against Bill Belichick and how he's done to prepare. And, I mean, you were a guy that was in his meeting room for how long?
Yeah.
He knows your offense.
Right.
This guy, everybody, and not just that, Tom knows your offense.
Right.
And the defensive coordinator knows your offense. So it's going to be a dogfight if they have a chance. If they have a chance, they're going to have to score early, and they're going to have to the defense.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point. If they have to score early, Travis, let me lay this on you. Patriots have won 5 consecutive games against the Texans, including the playoffs, and they've outscored them 171-79, and it gets worse. In the last 2 games, New England has outscored the Texans 54-6. And that was with Jacoby Brissett in one of those 2 games.
Exactly.
So there is plenty to be worried about and concerned about, and the weather, as you head up to New England.
No question. I think the way you got beat the first time, I think scares them. And then now with 12 back, with Superman back, I think that's when you have to bring your A game. And now this defense is not the same defense. It was when they lost to New England in the beginning of the year. But,
true. Very true.
I mean, I think their defense has to play excellent football in order to even stand a chance at all.
Well, and the other thing I want to give you credit for, because I'm all about showing you mad love because I'm happy you're back, is the fact that we had James Palmer on and others on last week who echoed what you said, which is in a depleted secondary that has faced injuries to Jonathan Joseph and Johnson and Kareem and all these guys that have been out, Bouye is going to get paid, and he has proven he belongs in this league,
yeah,
and he can play.
Yeah,
so
no question.
There's another find for the Texans that has turned out big for them when you see other teams that are struggling with their secondaries, i.e. Green Bay, and other parts of their defense, i.e. the Raiders, who were struggling with their secondary too, couldn't find the help from the standpoint of finding a guy that they got relatively easily and painlessly has stepped up and played huge.
I mean, this guy's been in his building for, I think AJ's, what, fourth, maybe fifth year? I mean, I think it's fourth year. I mean, okay. Undrafted guy to UCF. This guy's a hard-working dude. It's a hard. I've literally worked out with AJ during the offseason down at Tom Shaw, and have watched how his maturation has gone, his maturation process, and it's phenomenal because you see how he works. You know what he does during the offseason. He works out with Ike Taylor. He works out with William Gay. He works out with those guys who played long time in the league, the Troys. That you know, and that's what's going to continue to make him great. That's what's going to continue to get him. To get that money, because he's going to get it. I don't think he won't be a Texan next year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be a Texan next year either.
If he's a Texan next year, it's because they paid him and Jonathan Joseph is no longer here.
Yep.
That's the only how that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to get rid of Jay Joe. I just think they're just going to say, you know what? It's just one we got to chalk up that played well enough to get away from here. And he's going to go somewhere and he's going to have a great career.
So he's going to have to step up and play big. He had been fighting, I guess, a groin injury the week before, but he played last week, so that was a good sign. But look, I love the way Merciless has played all year. Getting Simon closer to 100% would be great.
Yes.
That would help them a lot. But the fact of the matter is that, like you said, the Texans aren't going to be shocked by anything that they bring defensively, scheme-wise, blitzes, etc. And you're going to have to try and slow them early to stay in the ballgame because they're going to try and send a message real quick that, hey, this is just going to be another one of those games like the last five have been, and that we have our eyes on the big prize, and so the quicker we can get rid of you, the better. So they're going to have to be prepared. The turnovers, again, are going to be a factor. You got to keep it down. Brock's got to manage that game, but you're going to need all hands on deck for sure.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you don't get if everybody doesn't show up, this game's going to be over before it gets started.
Without question. So we got to watch that. We're talking Clowney. We're talking the defense. Bouye's been big. Who else do you look at this week? What are you thinking? Are you the Texan fan that's turned the page and now you're thinking, hey, you can rewrite the script and change everything by winning in New England this week? Do you give him a fighting chance? Let me know what you think. Let Trav know if you got any questions for him. He'll break it down like he does, like a mother, because he's an NFL expert. We're here at ESPN 97.5. You can call the show, 713-780-ESPN. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can text to that number as well, and we'll get you on the show. We love you listening. We appreciate your listenership, and we'll be here with you till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.